Okay, so it's like that, eh? Lord, bless you for your faithful, generous participation in the offering. Bless you guys. Give yourselves a round of applause for being here this morning. And bless you. Hey, God's blessing upon His people. We're not here to receive a prize or anything like that, but I just pray God releases a supernatural blessing over every person that's made the time to come this morning and receive something from the Lord. It's my privilege this morning to continue with the series that we started on financial faithfulness. And I trust and pray that the heart of what we want to share with you gets across. And that's not to ask people for money. And my prayer is that you see this not as learning to give of your finances, but rather worshiping with your wealth. And to recap what we started speaking about last week is that we thought, how weird it is that a God that owns everything would give instructions as to how to manage finances here. How would a God that owns everything give instructions to give something back to Him because He owns everything anyway? Why would He do that in the first place? And the purpose is, first of all, just to recap last week, to see it's important that when we look at the topic of finances, immediately the oor waarmee ons die ding moet bekyk en bestudeer, and the glasses that we must have on is that God is a loving, caring, heavenly Father. Before anything else, He's a caring, heavenly Father. It's with that in mind. If you don't understand why somebody does something, it will be difficult to come to terms with what you experience. So whenever you look at the topic of finances, know that when God says anything about finances, it's interesting we say about finances. Over 2,000 New Testament scriptures reference finances. Do you think that that's important to God? Over 2,000 New Testament references pertaining to finances. Especially the challenging times in which we are going into in the world. We know that we are heading for a worldwide economic crash. The financial gurus of the world do not have an answer of how to fix the world's economic mess. It's prophesied in Scripture, we're going there, we're going towards the one world government and the one world currency. We're going towards the time where nobody will be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. So this morning we're not going to focus on the beast. We're going to focus on the goodness of God. Understand that it is God's goodness. It's these reasons that He gives us these instructions. We looked at the fact last week that God teaches us these things, first of all, to protect us from the devil. There's a real devil out there in the world. There's a principle of diminishing returns and a financial curse on the money because we live in a fallen world, albeit we serve a loving, living God. So the purpose of these teachings is to protect us from the devil. And then also to protect us from ourselves. Because God knew that it's very, very easy for us to become distracted, take our eyes off the fact that He is our source. He is the one that provides and supplies according to our needs, not according to our greeds. Can everybody say amen? So it's to protect us from ourselves. And then also to ensure that we have a financial inheritance, we have a financial future. These are the reasons that God gives these instructions. So this week, let's pick up where we left off and talk about the concept of the tithe. What is the tithe? So let's just say, is the tithe when the helmet comes around and you put something in? Is the tithe when you have a financial, when you have a debit order on your finances? By the way, we'd encourage you as far as possible to do your sowing and your giving and your tithing with the church electronically as far as possible. Because the more physical cash we have to deal with, the more finance charges there are on that. So who knows? Some people might frown and so maybe one day we'll have a machine that goes around. You come to church with plastic and whoosh, just ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching with a machine. Who knows? But so what is tithe? Guys, I honestly believe this, and I believe you pick up on the heart on this, that tithing is more an attitude of the heart than it is an amount of money. That's why I want to say that this series is called Financial Faithfulness. All right? But it's not giving of your finances, it's worshiping with your wealth. So I want to go so far as to say that tithing is an attitude of the heart. It's an expression of gratitude towards the Lord for the things that He's done. Although, There are very specific financial principles that pertain to this specifically. So God teaches us that we are to tithe on everything. The principle is in Leviticus 27 and verse 30, and it teaches us that these things belong to the Lord. I used the example last week where I gave a wallet which was given to me to Yuck, and I said, can he give me something that belongs to me? He can't, because it's not his in the first place to give. All right? And it's like that with God. You don't give God your tithe. You return to him what always was and always will be his. And we've already spoken about why it is his. It's his, it's set aside, it's for his purposes, for our protection, to protect us from the devil, and to ensure that we have a financial inheritance, and to remember that he is the source. So it's important to understand that the tithe belongs to the Lord. The scripture teaches actually that there were three tithes. There were three tithes. There was a tithe for the Levites, the full-time staff of the church, of the temple, and the running of the ministry. Then there was a tithe for an annual feast, which they used to have. And then there was a tithe for the poor. The tithe for the Levites was known as the Levite tithe. The tithe for the feast was known as the tithe for the feast. And the tithe for the poor was known as the tithe for the poor. The tithe for the poor would be taken up every 3 years, and the rest would be done annually. So when you look at this together, they tithe approximately 23%, not 10. And it seems interesting that God gives the teachings and the instructions about the tithes, and then something else happens afterwards. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 14 and from verse 22, please. Deuteronomy 14. Look at verse 22. You must set aside a tithe of your crops, one-tenth of all the crops you harvest each year. Bring this tithe to the designated place of worship. To where? The designated place of worship. The place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. And eat it there in his presence. This applies to your tithes of grain, new wine, olive oil, the firstborn of your males, of your flocks and herds. Doing this will teach you always to fear the Lord your God. Verse 24, now when the Lord your God blesses you with a good harvest, the place of worship he chooses for his name to be honored might be too far for you to bring the tithe. And he gives practical arrangements as to what they must do. If so, you may sell this tithe portion of your crops and herds, put the money in a pouch, and go to the place the Lord your God has chosen. When you arrive, you may use your money to buy any kind of food you want. He mentions a couple of things there. Then feast there in the presence of the Lord your God and celebrate with your household. Do not neglect the Levites. Do not neglect the Levites in your town, for they will receive no allotment of land among you. At the end of every year, bring the entire tithe of that year's harvest in store, and store it in the nearest town. Give to the Levites who will receive no allotment of land among you, as well as to the foreigners living among you, etc. So that portion of scripture describes what God wants done with the tithes. Okay, so this meant that the approximate total of their tithes amounted to approximately 23%. Next scripture we looked at last week, I want us to touch on again this week, is from Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. The New King James says, with the first part, the first fruit of all your increase. Now, folks, that's significant to understand. Why first? Why would God want that first portion? God doesn't do leftovers. God doesn't do second best. He's nobody's scallopy. God wants first. It's to help us to remember to, in everything, including money, put him first. I shared with you guys a little black book that I used to have? Did I? That was a care group, not yet. Well, I learned it's important to budget. My first paycheck ever, and I know there are people here that received less, but my first paycheck ever was 800 and something rand. I felt like a millionaire, but I went and I splashed out on clothes. And in those days, you could buy clothes, and I still, because I like buying quality, I'm still got some of those jerseys and stuff, clothing that I bought then. Yes, it does fit me. I still got it today. But I thought I missed a big bucks. I had money, but I could never, ever save. I just could not save, no matter what I did. And I had a little black book, and I wrote down the budget. And right at the very, very bottom, last, left over, if there was anything left, I wrote there, church. And in those days, I wasn't born again. I used to give 5 rand to the church. You know how proud I was that I gave 5 rand every month to the church? Wow! I'm like the last of the big spenders, China. $5 to the church. And I couldn't save. Ladies and gentlemen, I could not save. And then I learned about tithing. I did not get a salary increase. I didn't have less expenses. The next thing, there was money left over to save. So yeah, my same income, then I was tithing 10%, returning to God what was His. I had money left over to save, and it was incredible. And it done something in me. I realized this stuff works. It is real. And I stuck to it. And guess what? That item on my budget, church, where did it go to? Straight to the very top. And it was no longer church, it was tithe, because I understood that I'm returning to God what is His. Now here's the deal. God only releases stuff to people that can be entrusted with it and that manage it properly. It's interesting to note, if you read the account of creation in Genesis chapter 2, thereabouts, God didn't release any rain on the earth until such time there was somebody to manage what He had made. So can we then say that if there's no management, God will withhold blessing? God will withhold increase? He'll withhold a release unless there's somebody to manage it properly. So, people are saying, you're trusting God for a new house that's got this and it's got that, but the apartment you're living in looks like a dump, like somebody's just broken in and they ransacked the place. How much of a steward are you being of the little that you've got now? You're trusting God for a Lamborghini, Rini, super, whatchamacallit, and the little fuller you've got now, it looks like it's been ridden over by a military tank of some sorts. What kind of stewardship are you exercising over the little that you've got now? The scripture speaks about true riches. If we cannot even be faithful with finances, how is God going to entrust us with true riches? What's true riches? Look around you. This is true riches, people. So it's about stewardship. And then when I started doing that, financially my life has never, ever, ever been the same again. Because I'm Oluk. No, because God is true and He's faithful. And He honors His word. So the purpose of the first fruits is to put God first. People often ask me, Mozzie, do I tithe my gross or my net? Well, you can choose where you want to receive a harvest from. It's not a heaven or hell thing, people. That's a challenge. But you choose. Do I want to harvest on the first fruits or what's left over? Do I tithe on my gross or do I tithe on what's left after deductions? Well, where do you want your harvest to come from? My encouragement to you is that however you budget, people say, I cannot afford to tithe. Well, the reason you cannot afford to tithe is because you're not tithing. I want to say to you, you cannot afford not to tithe. You see, would you have 100% of whatever you got with a curse on it, or 90% with God's blessing? It's a no-brainer. You choose. That is why God wants it first. And it's also to keep our hearts in the right place. God, You are above all. Therefore, we honor Him first. So there's the principle there. Then the other thing is, it's something that that you often hear people say. You know that's unscriptural. I'm going to prove it to you. Because the Bible teaches, let me just give you the scripture reference. Is that okay this morning? Here it is. Exodus 23 and verse 15. It says, nobody must appear before the Lord empty-handed. Will God ever expect anybody to do something that they can't? No. Everybody has something to give. Ja, ma mozi et niks. Okay, jy wat sê jy het niks. Jy het 'n selfoon, nê? Ja. Jy het eetam op 'n selfoon, nê? Well. Wat doen jy met daai geld voordat jy daai airtime koop? Mense, dis nie snaaks nie, maar al is dit 'n R5 op 'n R50 noot, of R1 on R10, honor God first. He says there, let nobody appear before me empty-handed. That means everybody has something to give. We had the privilege of doing a missionary trip to Tanzania by motorbikes, 8,000 k's there and back. And we went, you think things are difficult in South Africa? Mensa, I've been to countries and seen things that Aram just got a whole new definition altogether for me. And they've got some people got absolutely nothing, but they've got a cell phone. And if you don't have a cell phone, well, I'm sure you've got something to give. You can exercise faith. Exercise faith, and God will entrust stuff to you. But He will not entrust you more with more than what you are currently managing correctly right now. So the principle is 10% is His. When must it come? It must come first. Nobody must appear before Him empty-handed. And this was a way of saying, God, we give of our best to You. Because God didn't give heaven's second, third, fourth best. He gave us heaven's best, and that's the principle. We reckon that You are worthy, Lord, to receive our best. So the principle of tithing was given, and it was laid as a foundation and not a ceiling. Afterwards, God started to teach them to give. So here's the kicker. Tithing is not real giving. Tithing is not real giving. Free will offerings. What happens after that is true giving. Because when you're returning something that belongs to somebody, it's theirs, that's not true giving. First came tithing. Return to me what's mine. Now I'm going to teach you what true giving really is. And then God encouraged them through free will offerings, how to be cheerful givers. We're not going to read the scriptures, but for the sake of the recording, and if you're taking notes, I just want to read some off to you, and you can see the principles of free will offerings. Leviticus 22, 18 to 23. Numbers 15 and verse 3. Deuteronomy 12, verse 6 and verse 17. And then we see an account in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 1, verse 4, verse 6. Ezra 3 and verse 5, Ezra 7 and verse 16, Ezra 8 and verse 28. Speaks about a voluntary free will offering. So there was this once a minister, people say, under the New Testament, we say, you know, we do as the Spirit leads us, and that's great, and that's charismatics like to say that. Say, well, you know, I just don't feel led to tithe, you know. I don't feel led to get today, to give today. So what he did was, he got the ushers and the deacons in the church to, amongst the entire congregation, send out fishing sinkers. Sent out fishing sinkers to everybody. Once he'd made sure that everybody had a sinker pass through their hands, or at least pass through their hands, or in possession of a sinker, it's made out of lead, he said, right, now that you've all felt lead, give. I'm going to send the offering baskets around again. Now that you all have felt lead, give. You can't say, I don't feel led to tithe. Nowhere in the scriptures do the people pray that, because God said, this is mine, return it to me. So tithing was the start and not the ceiling. Tithing was the start and not the ceiling. True giving is out of your free will offerings. So here's the deal. It was merely a floor, and this was a starting point from which the follower of God might give as needs and opportunity arise. Listen to this statement. The tithe was a test and demonstration of obedience, but the voluntary offerings were a test and demonstration of love and worship from a heart of joy. Tithe was a test of obedience. The voluntary offering was a test of a heart that worships with joy. And then there's a portion where they need to rebuild the temple. In Acts chapter 30, sorry, Exodus 35 and 36, where the giving was so much that they had to say, stop, guys, there's too much. And imagine if the handlebar team go, guys, please stop tithing and stop saying, we've got too much. The bank is complaining that Bikers Church Vault Triangle has got too much money. Please stop. Here we see an account where God supernaturally done something in the hearts of the people, because these were the moaners and the groaners and the grumblers and the complainers and the stiff-necked people that God called Pastor Moses to get out of Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. That was hierdie klomp, die einstes. Suddenly, they let God do something in their hearts where they started giving lavishly. Lavishly. We looked at the fact from Luke chapter 6 last week, where some translations say, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men pour into your bosom, so that you have no room to store it and will overflow. Correct? We looked at that, right? So what happens when it starts to overflow in our lives? I got a container here, and I pour, and I pour, and I pour. Eventually starts to overflow. When it starts to overflow, what do? I just get a bigger container. And then God, double measure, pressed down, shaken together, starts to overflow. What do? I get a bigger container. And so I go through life getting a bigger and a bigger and a bigger container. Never getting to the point where I let it overflow so that it can be a blessing to other people. And that's what they experienced here. They experienced a supernatural overflow. God done something in their hearts where they just started giving and giving and giving in this way. Why? Because they had this understanding that all of this stuff belongs to the Lord. This is the important part. David, in the building of the management of the stuff, he says, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 14. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 14. But who am I? And who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you. And we give only what you first gave us. They realized that it's the Lord's. And we see that principle in John 3:27. In John 3:27 it says, a man can give of nothing unless he's first received it himself. And that's the principle. So, let's go a little bit further and ask a very pertinent question that many, many people ask. What is the relationship between what was taught in the Old Testament with giving and the New Testament with tithing? Is tithing in the New Testament even a scriptural thing? Is it something that's even asked of in the Scriptures? And what is the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament in terms of giving? Let's sum it up this way. A certain standard was set in the New Testament. In the Old Testament. A certain standard was set in the Old Testament for everything. Jesus comes along and raises the standard of everything. So if the Old Testament standard was here, is it even possible that Jesus would come along and lower the standard when it comes to finances? Not at all. But so that we can settle it in our hearts, let's just look at what the Bible says. So, the Old Testament would say, you mustn't commit murder. Jesus comes along and says that if you even have hatred and anger in your heart towards somebody, you've committed murder in your heart. Looking at the attitude of the heart and the thoughts. The Old Testament teaches that you mustn't commit adultery. Jesus comes along and says, guys, even if you think about a woman lustfully to sleep with her, you've committed adultery in your heart. So if Old Testament standard is tithing, what's the New Testament standard? Imagine that. What would be the New Testament standard? It is obvious that a lot more is expected of us under grace than the law. Even our giving should be motivated by an attitude of love and joy towards the Lord, because the New Testament has a higher standard. Listen to this an interesting statistic of the church today. How many of you, this is the last time we've done a study here in this particular church? Are you ready to be challenged this morning, church? Is it okay? We're family here this morning. Is it all right? How many of you would like to take a guess what the percentage is of people that regularly come to this church and that consider this their church? They haven't done membership forms and wara, 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 but they consider this their church. What is the percentage of people in this church that tithe? When I say tithe, I mean the first fruits of the increase monthly, 10%, they return to the Lord on a monthly basis. How many of you like to guess what the percentage of that is in this church. 30, 20, 10, 3. It's less than 7%. Less than 7%. Now don't feel bad, see? I love everybody and you're next. I want to say to you that if every man and woman of God in this house of faith would dare to trust God and obey Him and return to Him what is His, we would no longer be in this building. Because God will entrust us with more and more and more and more. And we can be even a bigger blessing to other ministries that do not have what we have. But it's less than 7%. So if that's you this morning, I pray that God speaks to your heart. And please don't see, is die dominee nou vraai weer vir geld. No, there's a man of God doing his best to, in Jesus' name, saying, worship with your wealth and see what God does for you. So, listen to this. A publication known as Christianity Today reports that the per capita giving of church members in modern Western churches today generally is 2.5% of their entire income. That's what they give. So somehow, this is a revealing statistic in that it demonstrates apparently that the law was 10 times more effective than grace. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. And I think one of the challenges is that people in general aren't taught to give. Because of the freedom and liberty, which is great, which we have under grace, people say, yeah, well, you know, I'm just not led to give like that. Well, we'll just give as the Spirit leads. Well, God has already spoken about what is His. The challenge is many of them will never give because they're not being taught to give. The challenge with license, with liberty, is that liberty and grace is not license. Grace is not license for us to do what we want. So this is not to place heavy on anyone or to put a condemnation on ourselves if we say, oh well, this is our statistic. Let's see if we can raise our statistic. But rather say, God, I find it difficult, Lord. It's difficult to try. How can this possibly work, Lord? I have so little as it is. And now you want me to return 10% to you. Sure. Say, God, do a work of faith in my heart so that I can get to this place. Now here's the deal. This whole thing of tithing and giving and sowing can become legalistic. Just like this, it can become a thing like you feel guilty because you don't tithe. You feel bad because you don't tithe. Please don't let it be that. Please don't let it be. This thing can quickly become legalism. Oh, I must tithe. I have to. No, you don't. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12 that you can do anything you want to. You really can do anything you want to. But brothers and sisters, know this, that there will be consequences. So you don't have to tithe if you want to, but know that the devourer will have access to your wealth. Know that you'll be subjected to a financial curse all over the world. Know that you'll be placing yourself under the law of diminishing returns. You don't have to. Will you get to heaven if you don't tithe? Yes, but you'll experience financial hell on earth. Hello. So you don't have to. So please don't make it law. It's got to be grace and an attitude of worship as unto the Lord. The following things. The holy habits of church attendance, prayer, Bible reading can degenerate into legalism where it becomes laws, as can tithing. But that does not make them illegitimate practices or habits. The person who argues against tithes and proceeds to give less than a tithe is effectively saying that God has lowered his standards, that Jesus came and lowered his standards in the New Testament, and that the giving and that we see in the New Testament means reduced commitment. It does not at all mean that. New Testament believers are called upon to be far more sacrificial and generous with their money and possessions than even their Old Testament brethren. I'm done preaching about money for 30 minutes for today. I want to recap by saying, remember last week we spoke about why does God do this? Because this is His heart. He's a good God. And then, why a tenth and why first? Why a tenth and why first? God could have chosen any amount. First, that we can place God first in everything. And understand this, when it comes to the relationship between the Old and the New Testament, God raised the standard of everything, the way we think, the way we act, the way we give, and the way we worship. And then remember this challenge of the percentage of the people that tithe in this church. Let there be something. Ask yourself, look in front of the mirror and say, myself, what must I do about that? And then this important thing, just to recap, that tithing is not real giving. Tithing must be returned. The modern day storehouse of the place where the people worship, the storehouse of the temple, is the place where you get your food. So how many of you enjoy, I think for me, when I do want a meat burger, Steers used to be my favorite, but Rocco Mama's is just at a whole new level altogether. That's a whole... How many of you have had a Rocco Mama's burger? How many of you have had a Rocco Mama's burger? Please, guys, the rest of you, you must give you permission to once just have some little bit of junk food, okay? Have a Rocco Mama's burger. Dear Lord Jesus. So, when you go to Rocco Mama's and you have a Rocco Mama's burger, sometimes it's the eating complex, there's a Steers next door, you eat at Rocco Mama's, but you go and pay at Steers, right? Oh, you pay at Rocco Mama's. So the place where you get your spiritual food, the scriptural principle, is you return God's tithe to that storehouse, that place of worship. It's not some old age home or some charity organization. That is your free will offerings. And please, I'm really going to land this thing now. Please don't make this law. Please, I have to. If that's your heart, then just rather just don't do it. Because quite frankly, God doesn't need your money. You need to return to God what is His from an attitude of worship. I started off by saying that tithe is not an amount. It's an attitude of the heart. And if you're at that place this morning where you've not yet taken that step of obedience, there's a written guarantee from God to test Him and see if He will not forever. You, obedience and wisdom. Because I can start off by tithing and then just go and blow the rest of what's left over. Ek gaan moeilikheid optel, hoor. I've got to exercise wisdom. There used to be a thing called common sense. It's not so common anymore. So, tithe and then exercise wisdom. And you're going to see what God will do with the finances that He's entrusted to you. May Almighty God open up your mind and your life financially for this. May He really, really get you to see what it is that He wants to do in your life so that your finances can start working for you instead of you having to work for your finances. Is that okay, church? I pray that every word that has come from God this morning will minister life to your wallet, to your finances, starts to change your bank balances, and get you to see that you do this as unto the Lord. Lord, this is my way of saying thank you, not, oh well, have it then. Take it then, Lord. Here it is, just have it then. See if I care. But you only vip for the year anywhere. It's like, God is like, Jesus, check it. Come on. Let's do this from an attitude of worship as unto the Lord. Is that okay? All right. Father, thank you that we, your people, can just get together this morning and celebrate who you are and for your goodness. And I pray, Lord, that we just help us to see the thing of money so differently. The people in the world say that money makes the world go round. It's not money that makes the world go round. It is a loving God who has said, let there be. That's what makes the world go round. But we live in a real world, Lord, where money is necessary for us to function. And so, Lord, as we take some time to look at this week after week after week, Holy Spirit, would you teach us where I drop the ball, where I miss it, and where I get it wrong? Would you rectify that in the hearts of your people and speak your truth? As we go in the week, Lord God, when the time is right, Holy Spirit, would you remind us, your people, of how to be faithful stewards of that which you've entrusted us with. We see that you do these things because you're a good, loving, caring Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm going to get the deep end to sing us out with a song again. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you peace. Thank you for coming. We love you dearly. God bless you and have an awesome week.